So they're all up north, and then Jason and his family's gone, and so I'm kind of like, you want to read? No answer. You want to read? No answer. So finally, after asking a few people, I just settled on my favorite person in the world. If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. My lovely bride, who's always there in a pinch.
Always there.
2 Corinthians 5, till she stops. 2 Corinthians 5.
2 Corinthians 5. All right. Ready? Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, which we probably are, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Exclamation point. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known as regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Man, that's a good word. I'm glad I got that one.
Worrying, troubles, hardships, beatings, imprisonment. I guess they didn't see daylight savings time. It's kind of tough. Super. All right. Do we have kids that can? Marina and Cash. Pay attention, boy. All right. Good word. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for continuing to pray, especially for our church and your place in it in particular. If you remember quite about a month and a half ago, I guess, Wanda and Mick came to us and they sat over here and they just jumped right in. They fell madly in love with our church. They were starting to come, and then they had relatives come down from Michigan. And I guess they brought COVID with them. And so they got it. They weren't really sure what was wrong, but we can pray that God would just heal our land and just have it happen. Is it possible that we can pray for someone to be filled with the knowledge and the will and the wisdom of God and just have it happen automatically? Does it work like that? It doesn't. It doesn't. Some things don't work that way. I got in my truck this morning, and I know Frankie's cringing right now, but I got in my truck, right, and I fired that thing up, and I mean, I love my truck. It just keeps on going. But, you know, the poor girl just seemed a little tired today, you know, and while it was running and it started, it just seemed to be kind of running like, how did I lose an hour of sleep? You know, it just seemed like to be reflecting how I felt, you know? And, you know, and the way the truck works, the internal combustion engine, it just all fires off of a spark, an explosion. Pow! Things go, you know? And as soon as the explosion hits, things just start automatically happening. The power goes, the pistons go up and down. And then you have the oil that has to automatically come, get pumped up and automatically drip down all over that. So am I explaining this right, Frankie? Drips down all through to make sure everything's lubed so we don't seize it up, because it produces, that explosion produces heat. And because the engine gets hot, it needs to be lubricated so that everything moves up and down without seizing and freezing. And you have the water in there, so you have all of these, water and oil don't generally mix, but you have a separate portion of the water that kind of goes through, and the radiator puts the water that kind of goes through the engine on the outside, on the inside, to kind of cool it all down, and the fan goes. So all of this thing, when it's working together, once that explosion hits, things start moving. Now the interesting thing is, I'm getting over here, I'm getting closer here, it starts smoothing out. I guess it got warmed up, maybe. You know, it kind of got warmed up, and by the time I was over here, I just gave it a little test, I tromped on the gas, and boom, yeah, she was back to normal, you know. Every once in a while, we have those days, don't we? We have times like that where we just don't feel like we're hitting on all cylinders, as we say, and we're kind of like, what do we got to do here? What's going on? How am I supposed to continue to keep going on and on and on? Don't we get tired? Yeah, we get tired. Isn't it difficult? Sure it is. Jimmy's going to be leaving here next week. He's going to be going back up to Illinois because he works for the Cubs organization, and he's going to go back to work. As sad as he is about that, he's going to go. But he's going to go back, and he's going to do it. We all have to get back to our normal routines, you know. But who am I? Who am I 24/7 all the time, whether I feel like it or not? Who am I? Who said that?
Randy.
You know, Randy, you know, one of these days he's going to get in real big trouble because he speaks too soon. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yesterday we were in a restaurant. We went down to Tony's Beef down there in South Venice, great place to go get Chicago beef, and went down there, and there's a whole lot of people standing around on the outside. It's kind of like an A&W. It used to be an A&W years ago. But a lot of people standing around while this gal is just running just 100 mile an hour. She just go. And she's bringing out one set of orders at a time. And she was frazzled. You could tell she was frazzled. So we gave our order to her, and we went in, and we sat down, and we waited. And we waited. We waited, and she's coming out, running out, delivering orders to people outside, and then coming back in and delivering orders to people inside, and she's taking more orders. And I heard her say to somebody, "Our cook quit on us and gave us 12 hours notice." So I mentally took note of that. I kind of felt bad. We felt bad for her, and so we're certainly not going to cause even more of a problem. We just kind of sat there. We'll get ours when we get ours. I heard through the door into the kitchen. This is a real small place. I heard through the door the cook who was there, who had must have come in to relieve or to help or whatever. I heard him say, "I can't go any faster. I'm trying the best I can. I can only do so much." And she said to him, "Well, the people that are out there in the dining room right now seem really nice, so I think it'll be okay." She was talking about us.
Wow. She get it wrong.
Not when it comes to food.
You know, I was smiling. I was like, you know, thank you, Lord. Because there have been times when I haven't been that way. Who am I? Well, who are you? And we got a lot of great people here. I love coming here on a Sunday morning. I come here by myself. I show up. I'm the first guy here. Want to get in here and kind of get things, the coffee started and the lights on and everything going, so you'll be happy and have it when you get here. And then after a while, I hear this, and I know what that is. I'll bet you don't know what that is.
James is blown.
James comes over here and he blows off all of the stuff off the parking lot and on the drive so you don't trip and fall. Came in here yesterday and the place was looking really well and nice because we rented out this facility to an organization that has an annual meeting here, and you didn't know that either. And Brett and Jackie came early on Friday, and they set up the chairs and got everything ready and cleaned everything. And then after it was over, they came back again, and they made sure everything was clean for today. But you didn't know that. Katie read in the scriptures about our job is to reconcile people to God. It is our position, our job in who we are to reconcile people and their lives to God because we happen to know how that's done. We come here and we have a meeting once a year, and it was all passed out how much money we have, and every week we got Gwen, who is our reconciler. You put money in the basket, James takes it with whoever he can pull in and help. And then that goes into the back, and Gwen will have somebody assist her. Oftentimes it's Michelle or someone else. Two people count the money to make sure no one's stuffing it in their pocket. No, so nobody could be accused of that. And then she goes and she takes that to the bank and she makes the deposit. And then she has to reconcile those accounts. We have three different accounts in this church. She makes sure all the bills are paid. How many here pay the bills in your house? How many here love paying the bills in your house? You love paying your bills.
Because they cut the power off if you don't.
There's a perspective. I confessed to Greg the other day, who is like Mr. Accountant, I've never balanced a checking account in my life. Never one time. I don't do it.
That's living on faith.
Must be working, at least for me. I don't suggest anybody do that. But we have, everybody has a particular thing that they do, and some stand out, and some don't necessarily stand out. Jimmy's going home, but he has been picking up Jan here now for the last couple of months to bring her to church. Vic picks up Carol, and since he's not here, Carol's missing today. We didn't get a stand-in to go get Carol. This morning, we had Randy came in, and he said, well, Jack wasn't ready. Jack is all the way down there on Venice Avenue, and when Randy showed up to pick him up, he wasn't ready. And he said, well, you'll have to get me next week. But Randy got up early, earlier than you, and drove down there to get him so that Jack could be here. Everybody has a job. Everybody has something that God wants them to do. But who are we? What is it that makes us spark? What is it that makes us explode, makes us move? What gets things happening? Open up your Bibles, if you will. I'd like you to look to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. This is a strange parable. Luke chapter 16 is in red for the most part, because why? Jesus is talking. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, these are the people that are close to him. By the way, let me use this opportunity to plug the ladies' group. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, Todd, we had 15 people. You'd have been 16.
Yeah.
15 guys showed up yesterday. It was awesome. Last week, women were here on Monday night. They meet every other Monday. We don't want to wear you out. Every other Monday. And the men meet every other Saturday. And they had a whole host of women who sat here together. And they prayed, had a wonderful time. And they voted to pick up the next study, which is a study of Israel, of Jesus, through the eyes of a woman who is a really, really great teacher. They sent, they had to pay the money to do this. It's not really expensive, and I can get it for you free if you want. But you women need to.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. We'll pay for you. It's $45. But I listened to this this woman the other day, and it was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Jesus chose us. He picked us. We are his followers for a reason. So Jesus is taking his disciples, which these ladies are going to learn about, in their study. He's speaking to them and he tells this story. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and he asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What am I going to do now? My master's taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. And he told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. This gets a little strange. This is Jesus talking. Verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. Do you get that? I tell you, Jesus said, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be honest, dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. He would either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. Anybody have a problem with that? Do you understand that? Or can we just go home? Here's Jesus telling a story about a guy who got caught in the act of theft. He literally was embezzling money. When he gets caught, you know the story. And yet Jesus commends the guy for his shrewdness. We have been talking about the church lately. We've been talking about what your place is in the church. What are you doing? I want to take this a little bit further and ask you, what is the spark or the explosion inside of you that makes you do what you do? Are you predetermined and pre-planning that you are going to make friends with the world for eternal dwellings? I'm talking about not making friends of the world in itself. But what are you doing to try to influence other people that are out there for Jesus Christ? You see, what God is asking you to do is to step up and see that this is a very, very big deal. God has a mission for you, and He has people in your world that He would like to reach. And you happen to be in that world. If you are in the church, people are watching you. They're seeing you, and they're seeing what you are doing. Are you standing out as a good example of a good disciple? When people see you, do they say, "Oh, that's a nice guy"? And then do they go on and they say, "There are nice people because of Jesus"? See, that's a big transition. We'd already left this girl a tip. When I heard her say that, I was like, okay, now that really puts a little bit more pressure on us. So I left her extra money on the table, and I put a gospel card down because I wanted to make her sure. She has already defined me as being nice. I wanted to make sure she knew that it wasn't me who was being nice. It was Jesus who was being nice in me. I was pre-planned ahead. My wife's pre-planned ahead. She knows to be pre-planned ahead because if I don't have any more cards in my wallet, I'm going to ask her, "Do you have any more cards?" We have some tracks and stuff that are sitting on the back, right there underneath that little chalkboard. We're going to have to order some more cards. But the point here is that are you being effective in outreaching for Jesus Christ? Who are you? What is it that stamps you? What is it that makes you, you? Friday, when we were standing there, we have an issue that's coming up before our church that the board has received. I sent them a request. Somebody wants to rent our facility. And they want to use this facility to try to, press Jesus in our country. They want to pray for America. They feel like the church hasn't been doing what it's supposed to do. And so they want to try to bring Christians together to really, really pray for America now. Which is what we were doing all along. Friday, we had two people from this group show up. When I got to talking to them, I let them know that we haven't made the decision whether we're going to allow them to use this facility yet. But I started asking them questions about themselves. One woman was absolutely defensive and absolutely appalled that I would ask her, "Well, what do you believe? What's going to happen to you when you die?" "Well, I don't think how that matters." I said, "Well, you want to pray for America. You're hoping God does something. What do you know about God? Well, God's everywhere, and we just kind of, you know, I don't really want to talk about it. When I went to the other lady, started talking to her, the first thing she said is, I love all these signs. I think they're really, really kind of cool. I don't know the Bible very well myself. So that pretty much sealed it for me. Now, I don't get a vote on the board. You know, I only vote to break a tie, which that'll never happen. But, I mean, when we're all said and done, I don't really think that we want to be associated with just a political action committee. Because their whole thing was, we want to pray to fix America. How many here prayed to fix America? Come on, put your hands up. How many people gave money to fix America? We gave our time, we gave our talents, we gave our gifts, we gave our service. What can I tell you? It's difficult. What I see going on out there is just something that's a little bit more difficult for us to have to face. Don't want to talk about the issues, but we do know what God has to say in His Word about so many of them. Who are you? What sparks you? What fires you? What moves you? Are you taking this story, and I'd like you to leave with this, are you taking this story and are you thinking in advance things that you could do to go out into the world and influence somebody else for Jesus Christ? Because what he is trying to say to you is that you are going to be rewarded in heaven based upon the things that you did here. Remember, we brought that up the other day. It flap. We will be rewarded. That doesn't mean we're going to be cast into the lake of fire if we don't do things. But we're going to be blessed because of what we have done for Jesus Christ while we're here. He has a mission for you and a mission for me. Are you motivated by that? Are you doing the job that he has asked you to do? Do you sit down and kind of think, how can I make this better? How can I influence these people? How can I reach those folks? Are you doing that? Or you just kind of go through life and just hope it all works out? Jesus took his 12 disciples and changed the world, turned the whole world upside down. I love what my wife said, and you read it in the bulletin. She always has me pre-read these things. And I read it, and I was like, wow. She didn't find that anywhere else. She found that herself. The heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 lists all the people in the Old Testament that basically were used as an example of walking by faith, living by faith in the Old Testament. And I got to confess to you, when I see a list of names that goes on, and this person begat that person, this person had that person, when we get to that point, I just kind of go to sleep. So I have to confess to you that I probably only ever read the last chapter of Romans maybe twice in my whole life without going to sleep. But she told me that when she went through, she actually counted and added up the names of the people in the New Testament who were under Paul's influence. And these are just the names. There are people who are spouses. There are people who are in the church. There are people who are friends of. So more than double in the Old Testament is the New Testament. Let's fast forward back into the new day today. What's going on with us? I mean, I look at Mike, who's fallen asleep back there. I can appreciate it. I look at Mike, and I remember Mike. Mike wasn't a whole lot to look at or to stand up and go, man, this is the kind of guy you want to be. He just started coming. Pretty soon he was picking someone up and bringing them here to church. They can't come here anymore. When we volunteered or asked for volunteers to step up and stand out on Friday and Wednesday on the corner for proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I was shocked when I saw Mike. Mike has been there, unless there was some kind of a situation, like a doctor's appointment or something, he has been there every time. The other day, someone came and pulled in, and I'm sorry they're not here today, Mike. We were praying. Someone came, and we had seven of us standing on the corner, and this woman pulled up, and she was unburdening her heart. She walked right up to Mike. Must be the gray hair. You look distinguished. Yeah, the goatee. Kind of like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
I stood there a long time kind of waiting. Does he want me to go over there and talk to her? Maybe I should go over. And Peter said, let him go. Mike handled it well. But he's here. And the longer he's here at Flap. He shows up. He reads. He helps he sends me stuff for the sign on occasion. Like, I got a great idea. And so he's here. He's making a difference and he's growing. Each and every one of us are called to do something like that. Are you doing what Jesus has you do? I hope you are. I really do. I'm running out of steam. I don't know what else to say. This is a kind of a weird day. Go ahead, Randy.
It's not who you are. It's whose you are.
Whose you are. I belong to Jesus. Yeah, Donald, you're a talker, aren't you?
I have to tell you this. The Holy Spirit sent me here today. Yes. Because you are talking about just what I'm thinking about.
Amen.
And I don't know, everybody's saying, what can we do? And we're losing our country. And all this, and I don't know the verse right now, but I know it's what it says. If we would all turn to God, he would heal our lives.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and confess their sins, I will hear their prayers from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and heal their land.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And so a thought has come over me, just thinking about, what can I do? We've got to do something. Everybody says, and either run for election or something, and I've done that before and won, but this is a different thing. This is not religion. This is religion, and yet it's trying to save our country. And my thought was, I live in this park, and that maybe I could just start with only six people. And I would write a letter and say, Dear Americans, and would you like to join me to get the word out? And put some scripture, like that scripture, and maybe a prayer. And would you like to meet and see if we can't make this grow? Like if the six people would do six more, and six more, like a chain letter you do. And you don't have to if you don't want to, but do something.
It's important that we understand that it's not about a country. It's about our hearts. God wants us inside, outside, every part of us. He wants to own us. The interesting thing is that when I come to Christ, I die. You get that? I die to my own self, and I take on what he wants me to do. If I want to do something else, he says, come on over here. Now, the interesting thing is that I do fall down all the time. But he's continually encouraging me, come on, you can do this, keep coming. And all of us together, I love the saying, who did I share this with you? No one of us have it all together, but all of us together have it all. Our job is not to fix America. Our job is to bring Jesus Christ to our hearts and to people in this community.
Amen.
It's to bring Jesus Christ alive to let him live. That's the only thing that's going to work. I even asked this lady, if you get the America that you pray for, would it make you happy? Because I'm going to tell you right now, it won't. Because anything you imagine in your head is never going to be able to satisfy you.
Only Jesus
Christ can satisfy us in our heart. And the Father said that I sent my Son that he would live in you, and he is going to reconcile you to me, and he's going to tell you and show you and give you the things that are necessary to live your life here in this earth. We can't take our eyes off Jesus. We cannot stop proclaiming him and telling him and just making him known to the people around us by being the kind of people he wants us to be. So it's going to get difficult. I really don't think that we're just going to automatically come here one day in nice sunshine and be raptured. I think it's going to be difficult for us to be Christians. And we're going to have to kind of say, well, what am I doing today to make that a solid plus for God? Because whether I live or die, it's all about Jesus. I don't have anything to say more than that, except that, look, on this church, we've got Wednesday, we got a dinner coming up. Bring your friends. I've had such a hard time lately because I've been sharing the gospel with so many people, and I'm not getting any yeses. And I don't know why. They just don't want it. They don't want him. And how sad. Yeah.
I was at Walmart, and this lady's a man, not wearing a mask, an older couple. She goes, "Oh, another maskless person, yay!" Because I don't wear them. And she just started talking about things, and she ended up talking about Jesus. So the Lord is everywhere. There are out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they are spreading the word.
Yeah, good.
We just don't hear it all the time.
I want us to be doing that.
And what
Mike.
About the two ladies that were talking about going down to England with the plague and whatnot?
Well, those are the people I'm talking about. They don't even know Jesus.
Well, I think they're holding a Lebanese flag.
They're holding a Lebanese flag. Yeah, I like figure. He says, "Are you Lebanese?" Yeah, there you go.
I think it's obvious for us to plant the seed and him to water and to grow it.
Yeah. We keep planting. I don't need to see. I'm not meaning like I'm just. It used to be years ago you'd share the gospel with people and they would readily want to grab it. It's getting more difficult to do that. So what I'm saying to you, be an example to the people in your church. Be an example to the people in your home. Be an example to the people in your work. Grab on to Jesus. Ask him, what can I do? Be in his word. Learn and grow. Okay? Please do that. Keep praying for Rhonda. Rhonda needs special prayer. Rhonda needs, and pray for Gil too. There's a lot of stuff going on out there that isn't good, and we need to make sure. Pray for me, because I need to make sure that the guy that ends up in North Carolina is the sweet thing. Todd, you're going to take that job, okay? You're going to make me the sweet thing. Keep me the sweet thing.
I always heard you were.
I had some difficult time. My wife knows it. She's trying to calm me down. I had a difficult time because I've been accused of some things that I never even did by this group of folks and her family. And it's just really tough to lay that aside. But I need to make sure that Jesus shows up. So he will. All right. I think that's good enough. That's probably the worst church service I've ever been to in my life. But you know, it's real. I need you.
You can go back and do the twos, and you know you'll appreciate this.
I'll appreciate this. We need you to be the church. Need you to be the church, because one day this is all going to go away, and the only thing that's going to move into the next kingdom is what we did here for Christ. I was driving up to my son's house the other day. And this song came on, and doggone it, for 2 days I tried to find it online, and I couldn't.